Okay. All right, everybody, welcome back to the 42284 podcast. I'm here with Kyle. Jeremy, he couldn't be with us today. He's up running the Derby, I think. He's been practicing for years. If you've not seen the picture, check out our Facebook page. But we're here today with a very special guest. We've been wanting to get him on here for a while. He can tell us many, many stories about Sunfish School and things over the years. Mr. Walton Key. Walton, how old did you just tell us you were?
Huh?
How old are you?
88.
88.
I'll be 88 the 18th of June.
Were you born in Huff?
Yes. That's
Where was y'all's home place?
I don't know where I was born or hatched.
Was your all's home place there at your farm?
Yeah.
Right there by your Papa Warren's farm?
Yeah, we're Dale Ball. You know, these days right there. I'm going to go over there sometime, just look around. I guess Dale wouldn't care. I think Cecil's boys and girls wants to go over sometime and look around. And we had them old pot bellied stoves. And we had the old barrel, you know, had for drinking water. We draw it out of the well. There wasn't no ice. And everybody drank that one dipper. Everybody drank out of the same dipper.
I know what you're talking about. He's talking about the place that Dale bought off Grandma Lulie. That was your home place, right?
Okay.
Right,
yes.
That's right. Yeah. I knew that.
Back there, you know. Back
where the old house sat in the curve across the road from Jimmy's. Yeah. Do you remember the old house that stood
there?
That was your house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Is it still there?
No, it's tore down. It's tore down now. Yeah. Well, I forgot that. I was thinking about your farm, but no, it's Grandpa Dennis's place down there.
Yeah,
it was your
home
place.
Yeah, that's where we was raised at.
Right.
And Dad used to walk across, he worked at Kylock when they was going, and he'd walk across, and they had a swinging bridge across Bear Creek, and he'd walk across there.
The swinging bridge field.
That's where you were talking about.
So that's how your dad got to work. He walked across that
swinging bridge. Yeah, across that swinging bridge, you know, across Bear Creek.
Yeah.
And sometimes Bear Creek got wild back then. They didn't have all them dams then.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, I've seen her hill to hill.
Yeah.
I've got some pictures of Bear Creek being out.
Have you?
And Dad had that old Super M farm hall.
Yeah.
And was bringing people across. And
on the bridge at
the bridge
70.
At 70 that they just replaced. That. And there's one picture of Martha and Jeremy's mom, if I'm not mistaken, on that old farm hall. Of course, it was big and tall, you know.
Would that have been when we were small?
Small.
It seems like I can remember
early
going
80s.
Down there with Dad and
early,
Gary was taking people
early
across.
Early 80s, I would say. Mm-hmm. Do you remember kind of that?
Yeah, just about a little of it, you know. But see, I grew up in the 50s, you know. It's pretty, everybody's the same. You know, wasn't nobody rich or poor. We just all,
everybody
you know,
the same boat.
Helped one another, you know. Really.
Everybody got by.
Yeah. How many of y'all was there total, Walton?
Nine of us.
Nine of you.
I'm the only one living.
You're the last.
And see, and I can't ask some of them something because they don't know.
Right.
See,
was there two girls?
Yeah.
And
no, there's four girls.
Four girls, okay.
Now, the two oldest ones was girl Maxine Imogene.
Right.
Then Cecil.
Okay.
And then Carl.
Yes.
And I was the middle, the third one, and Larry, you know, he got killed.
Yes.
And Lester.
Yes.
So I'm the only one. You know.
So who was the other girls besides Imogene and
Maxine?
Oh,
I had one girl got drowned in a mother was a
I remember
cannon,
that.
A,
I remember that.
Cantaloupe or something. And we supposed to been watching, of course, she's out, you know. Mm-hmm. And she got in there and drowned it.
I've heard that story. She was real
Janelle.
She's real little, wasn't she?
Yeah. Then they had another girl that died when she was born, because there was a baby disease, and a lot bunch of babies died that year.
Yeah.
But the one that drowned it, I don't know how mother ever, you know, put up with it. You know.
Accidents happen like that back then. You know, I've heard of small kids getting in the water bucket, things like that.
I think Janelle Davis was named after.
After your sister. Okay. I had forgot about that, Walt. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I forgot about that.
She wasn't about 4 or 5 months. Well, wasn't very old, you know. We supposed to see this crawling, you know.
Yes.
And mother's throwing them rinds in the so I'd feed the hogs, you know. And she got in there and got drowned. So it's been a lot of tragedy, I tell you.
So you went to Sunfish School throughout your whole school career, I guess?
Yeah. I graduated in 55, I guess.
55.
I switched away.
And so you've already told us some stories about it. So there was a ball diamond, and of course a lot of you played baseball.
Yeah. And you know, and Glenn, he was coach and principal and everything. He was good to us. But
Glenn Duval, right?
Yes, sir.
Glenn Duval.
And you know, his wife was teacher, Ruth, Miss Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Ruby Curtin, she was one of Raymer's daughter. And Miss Elton Potter, you know, Sherman's.
Uh-huh, yes.
And we had some good teachers. But, you know, but when, he sure kept order now, I'm going to tell you.
When y'all was playing ball, would you play Kyrock? And
Yeah.
Big rivalry, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Brownsville?
I played, yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah?
And I was a catcher for nobody wanted that nasty job.
See, so you got it by default then.
Yeah, and I wasn't too good at that baseball, but I caught. And Phil Vincent and Vernon Benson, man, they was good. They was, and Kurt, he was a good baseball player.
My papa Kurt?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man.
Well, I guess if he ever hit one, he'd go 400 foot, wouldn't he? I've seen him put
some balls in that hog bin, too.
Was it a home run if you hit one
in that hog bin? Well, it was about a mile out there.
So you had a hog pen by the ball diamond.
You know.
And y'all slopped the hogs for your lunch money, you said.
Yeah.
15 yes, cents sir. For lunch or slop the hogs, right?
Yeah. Hey, you got your lunch free. Glenn, if, you know, the older boys, of course, mm-hmm. I wasn't in on that. But, if they take the slop out and feed them hogs, then when they got ready to sell them, he sold them and bought baseballs and basketballs.
Oh, use that money for your sports equipment?
Yeah, they didn't have nothing back then. Right. Shit. You just done what you had to do.
Yeah, I'd say so. He's talking about lunch there. Papa Kurt, he used to tell a story. I'm sure not true. But he used to tell it. He said that every day he brought his lunch in a lard can.
Yes, sir. I've seen a menu.
And said Grandma fixed him two boiled eggs every day for lunch. And he said they'd put their lunch buckets and whatnot around the room there.
Right.
So they'd call for lunch. You go out and eat your lunch. Yeah. He said he got to noticing that this other boy had a lard can looked just like his.
Uh-huh.
He said, I thought, tomorrow I'm going to switch cans with him. Can. Yeah, I'm going to get his lunch.
Yeah.
He said he went and got that other can and ran off over the hill and opened the lid and said, there's two green walnuts in there. He said, don't you know that other boy had a treat? He got two boiled eggs. Now, like I said, that's probably not the truth. But
well, yeah. That sounded like it. Oh, man, we had a lot of fun.
So baseball, you said you wouldn't. That wasn't your primary sport. Was you a basketball man?
Yeah, I played a little round ball. You know?
Yeah.
And like I told somebody, they hadn't hogged the ball on me. I'd have got 100 balls. They wouldn't pass it to me. Pete Hayes.
What? How many did you get? Do you have the record at Sunfish?
Yeah, 72.
72 points
in one
no
game.
No 3-pointers back then. Right. Ain't no telling how many.
72 points in one game, and you'd have got 100 if they hadn't hogged the ball on you.
Hogged the ball if it had 3-pointers. But you couldn't shoot it with a set shot. You'd hit the roof.
Walt said their best play was get across half court, give him the ball, let him shoot. Was that y'all's play?
I had to rough it. You know, I mean, I was pretty rough. Got a lot of fouls called on me.
The refs, they was rough on you?
Yeah.
If
you didn't get a nose mash or something, you didn't have a good game.
No blood, no foul.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
If you didn't get an eye cut down or a nose mash, you hadn't had a good night.
That's how we still play down here in the bar. No blood, no foul.
Yeah.
So when you had that 72, did you have 50 and a half, or did you have about the same in each half?
About the same.
About the same?
Yeah.
Do you remember who you was playing?
I think it's Monroe County down in there somewhere. Center or one of them.
Okay.
Little half-ass team, you know.
Uh-huh.
We played everybody, you know.
So, back then, would you win like a – was y'all in districts or
– Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did your teams
well,
ever –
Well, Owensboro's always
– Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to get past Owensboro.
Yeah. And you didn't get no recognition. You know, Gary was an all-stater. He played in Rupp Arena.
Now, Gary's your son.
And I was honorable mention, you know, back in 50. little schools like that didn't get no recognition. Mm-hmm. But Orangeburg was usually the Orangeburg Catholic.
Right.
Used to go about every year. Butler County. Hey, that's the biggest crowd to ever see a ball game when Edmondson County played Butler County. Western, it packed it.
Packed the place.
It's the biggest crowd to ever see a, just a regular high school game.
Yeah.
I believe Butler County beat us, but that's the year they won the
was Edmonds that in 75?
Yeah. And they beat Butler County in the district that year. But the year Gary played, I think Butler County beat him 1 point in overtime. But his biggest crowd to ever see a scheduled high school game.
So Edmondson County won the state tournament in 76.
76, yeah.
And Gary had graduated the year before that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot, which that was a great team. The 76 team was a great team. Not going to take anything away from them. But I've heard a lot of people say that 75 team was probably just as good a team.
They had a really good team
that year.
Butler County had Kenny Higgs and they got a lot of breaks. And
just the way it goes, sometimes you get put out and you don't get to advance. So. Yeah. But now that 76 team, they were really good also. That's the only state championship that Edmondson County's ever won in basketball. Of course, if they hadn't cheated Walton out of it back in the 50s, we probably would have got one back then.
No doubt.
You was telling earlier about the stove down there at the gym. Did the stove set out on the floor just a little bit, or just right there down the
bounce line? The wall.
Yeah.
There wasn't much room.
I've heard you could expect get yourself warmed up if you got in that area to try to shoot or something.
Old Red, he'd fire up that cold, He was janitor, Red Branch.
Okay.
And he'd fire them so that it'd be so hot in there. When you get a crowd in there, it was kind of crowded in there.
Would y'all have a pretty good crowd every game?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't a lot
of entertainment back then.
That's right.
That's it. There was no entertainment.
You've always been able to draw a crowd.
That's why we got him on here.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you spent your early years at Sunfish. When you got out of school, what'd you do then?
I went to GE.
In Louisville?
I worked about 15 years up there.
I should have knew Louisville because I believe I remember. And I believe it was Frank telling me. How many times did y'all move in 1 year?
Oh, we moved quite a bit. If we get tired of one place, we'd move. Poor old Dorothy, they'd have to load up. I'd go from one apartment to another and then move back down home, stay there a while, and go back.
Did you marry Dorothy just right out of high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we'd went to high school together.
Right. Y'all were sweethearts, I guess, wouldn't you?
Yeah. She was a year behind me. She's supposed to be in the same class I was in, but her dad wouldn't let her go 1 year. It's muddy, that mud road up through there, and no rock or nothing on it.
And Dorothy, I guess, was a Mattingly, is that right?
Yeah.
That's her maiden name,
Charles,
Mattingly?
Yeah. Russell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I was, when I was playing ball, I didn't pay any attention to the girls, so I was busy. Practice you pretty hard all the time. Mm-hmm.
That was your main focus, I guess.
Yeah, and then
probably have to go home and work, I guess.
Yeah. And the night Karen was born, I had the first date with Dorothy. And I remember it was a ball game, and Cecil come in and said, Imogene had a little girl. And
is that Emily's mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was y'all's first date?
Mm-hmm. The night she was born.
Well, you must have impressed her. I don't know what kind of lie you told
she's
her.
She's really been good to me, Karen. Just really, been over backwards and just sees after me. And she calls on me all the time. And
did you ever consider going to college? Was that a thing back then?
No.
Playing ball?
No. And then Jerry, he got a scholarship, but he said, Dad, it's not worth us.
Okay.
But he got a scholarship on his grades.
I'd say.
And he said it's not worth it, getting all boned up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do whatever you want. He could win baseball he's a pretty good football player.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have football then. Well, we had it, but a bunch of us just get out there and fight over it,
More like rugby than football.
Just rough it out.
I heard a guy tell one time when football first come in over at Evanston County, he said he played basketball and baseball, so they was trying to get some football players out. And he said, well, I'll go over there and I'll see what's going on. Said they said, well, you're pretty athletic and tall. Yeah. Said, we're going to put you at wide receiver. So he said the first play of practice, said they throwed a whatever, a slant or something across the middle. And he said he got creamed.
Oh.
And he said, I fell down on the ground and said, I woke up and said, there was a hind end right in my helmet. And he said, I thought, what is going on? He said, I poked it and it was my own hind end. He said, I never play football no more after that. He said, I stuck to basketball and baseball. So is that kind of the way it was back then?
Yeah, you get out there, choose sign, run down roughneck.
Now, so GE, where else did you work up there?
Well, then I come to Cecil. He wanted me to, you know, come down and help him out. So he said, I'll pay you what you're making there. And I wasn't making $1.40 an hour.
Was that good back then?
Yeah. You could save $5-$10 out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
Now, hell, you can't even buy a Coke for that.
Right. That's exactly right.
A hamburger and a Coke.
Uncle Gene said that when he went to Louisville to work, that people on the farm back then was making $1 a day.
Hey, I worked for...
And so that was a day, a full day.
I worked for Kit Logs when he's building a barn one summer, me and Carl. $3 a day in your meal, that was sun up to sun down.
Yeah.
$3 a day now.
And then you go and make that much an hour. He said, well, I thought I was rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Paid a little bit for a room and board up there off of a lady, and then everything else was yours. He said, I just had money to burn. Because you was making almost in a couple of hours what you'd make all day down here on the farm.
It's changed.
Didn't you work some construction too?
Yeah, a little while. I fell off a bridge. I worked for Charles.
Do what?
They're in Louisville.
Fell off a bridge.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to have your gear on, you know. And said,
how high?
It was about 20 feet. And they'd cleaned out underneath there, and it wasn't nothing but solid rock, you know. And I busted a bunch of ribs, and that messed me up for life there.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't fall head first. Walt was telling us about falling down at his house a few days ago. He's got a little skin place on his head, but said it cracked the concrete.
So he's going to have to redo his steps.
Redo the concrete. Are you a concrete man?
Oh, yeah. I can do about anything. Now, do you want it to hold or do you want it to look pretty?
Because if you want to do either one, you probably don't need to get cow.
You poured some concrete.
I laid there for about an hour, I guess. My neighbor, I heard him, I hollered him, and he called him. It's kind of looking bad there at one time. The skin, my arm all rolled up.
Yeah, you've got some bruises on
you. While we're on Walton outtakes and falling off a bridge and such, what about when you run the bottle jack through the silage blower?
I don't think I've heard this
you
one.
Oh, yes.
No, huh?
Yeah.
He was pulling silage wagons over there, and they had a flat.
Had a flat
car. They changed
and
it.
And they laid it up on that where you feed the corn in.
Oh, and it went through
fell right out of the silage wagon into the blower. Wasn't it Ronnie was milking and run out and thought silo would fail?
Well, when did you start milking? Was that later in life then?
Yeah, a little later
on. I
guess
I just assumed you milked for a long part of
your life. Yeah, and I said, I moved back and I said, yeah, I'm gonna try milking, but I couldn't handle it, you know.
Well, you milked for several years, though.
Well, yeah.
What year did you move back down there to where you lived when you milked?
I don't remember.
Well, that's when, I mean, that's all I remember. So I'm going to say early 80s.
Milking?
Yeah.
Do you remember me milking?
I remember you milking good. Yeah.
You know, well, me and your dad.
I remember some.
Hey, we worked together.
Oh, I know.
I remember
some prized heifers that Dad sold you one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that one? That one was about a half genius, wasn't she? Walt called Dad. He had sold him some heifers. He called Dad and said, Gary, one of these heifers is afflicted. Said all she wants to do is stand in the water trough.
Yeah, she'd stand right in that water.
She done it to house too.
I said, that's how it goes crazy. She stays in the water and draws all the time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we used to be laid together and work together. Oh, boy.
I remember one time Walt was down here, that field beside of my house. They was, I believe he was rolling some straw, best I remember. Do you remember that when we rolled some round bale straw? Do you remember that, Bud?
No, I don't
remember
that.
When you rolling some straw in that field, maybe?
Yeah.
And something had happened, a string, or I don't even remember what it was, but he was underneath the baler around the pickup area or something like that. And we went out there. Of course, that tractor was running at an idle. He couldn't hear us come up. And Dad, it was that 2840 John Deere that we had.
Yeah.
And when he come by that throttle handle, son, Dad just smacked it and spiked it. And old Walt come out of there like a biting sound. He just knowed something happened with that tractor, you know. And son, he come out of there, which I guess I would have too if I'd have been under there, you know, trying to work on something. That tractor went from 1,000 to 2,000 just like that.
And then, I had a 160 Alice in Brandon. He's little. He's always on that tractor. 2 or 3 year old. We's out in the out in that barn of moving some machinery around, and he must have hit the clutch or something. He said, I tore them rake all the hay already. He got into the rake.
He right? Did he bend it up?
Nah.
No.
It just scared him, I guess.
I remember running the feed barrel over. Do you remember me doing that?
Yeah.
He had a feed barrel sitting by the wall, had an auger coming through the wall, and it was on a light switch. You flip the switch, fill the barrel up.
Yeah.
Of course, he's in there milking, and I guess them old nice Holsteins he had, you couldn't be in there. They'd be kicking him, you know.
Yeah.
And so a little kid sitting out there thinking, what can I do to help, you know? And so I see the feed barrel's about half.
Then you run it over, didn't you?
I stretched out. It took everything I could do, tiptoeing to flip that switch up. And I stood there till it got full, not thinking, how am I going to flip the switch off? And then I couldn't reach it because the switch flipped
up. It was
up.
Too high.
And so I start hollering. There's cows kicking milkers off. And Walton comes running. And there's feed running out the floor.
Oh, yeah, it's a battle, didn't it?
Oh, man.
How many was you milking when you...
I think about 40.
40?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have where you could milk four at a time? Two on each side?
Yeah, two on each side. And north that you cleaned up and, you know, it had to be perfect in there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm inspectors, they were there all the time.
Right, yeah. Cleanliness was number one, I guess, that, wasn't it?
And yes. Dorothy took care of the calves most time, too, didn't she? The bottle calves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, that was a good old day. I had an old Gus, a dog, his collie, and he'd sit over there in the yard and watch us milk. He wouldn't cross that road. I'd got him from Danny Kerr, and he'd run across the road up there. He's up there where there's a lot of traffic, and he'd whipped him. But he'd sit there until we got through milking.
And then,
the yard. He would never cross that road.
And then when y'all come back, he's, is that right?
Right there.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
And had an apple orchard, and I'd go get the cows up and get me an apple, you know. Eat on it, and Dorothy.
Now, did your dad just farm always down there?
Yeah,
did he work at Kyrock, you said?
Yeah, Kyrock, when that was going strong across that bridge.
Did he done, I think I've heard people talk, didn't he do a lot of custom work for people, baling hay and stuff?
No, he didn't. I did.
You did? Yeah. Okay.
I switch around. Well, I done a lot for James Light and old Rick. You remember Rick?
Oh, yeah. Estelle Ashley.
I said, what are you doing now? Rucking hay.
Rucking hay? Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, of course, back then, they square baled everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It wasn't no such thing, round bale.
Custom square baling, and they would rake it quarter a bale.
Right.
I believe I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
His brother's name, James.
Yeah, James Lassen.
James would rake it, and maybe Estelle and Baylor, I've got that mixed up.
No, James was baling.
Estelle was
rough.
Raking.
Yeah.
Okay, I had it backwards.
Yeah.
But I think he'd give him like 2 cents a bale to rake it or something like that.
Have you ever heard Dad tell about Papa raking? He couldn't get a rake from somebody and had somebody come and square bale some. And he raked windrows with a team dump rake. Have you ever heard him tell that?
No.
He raked up windrows with like an old team dump rake.
I've seen them do that. You know, just rake it up and kind of in a windrow.
Pull them up in a line.
Yeah.
Dump it, pick it up, pull it up in a line, you know.
They have mules pulling that egg rake.
Yeah. I have heard your dad tell, though, when your papaw first got a tractor, I don't even remember. Was it a little Ferguson?
Ferguson.
Little Ferguson tractor?
Ferguson 30.
Well, he'd had a case before that, but then the T.O. came along, and that's when you're talking about the mowing machine.
Yeah, tell that.
So he had the auto.
He had all that team equipment, and they cut the tongues off and made it where it would fit.
Right. Yeah. He had a team mower, and he fixed it where you hooked it behind the T.O., and Dad or Uncle Paul would have to ride the team mower to raise the sickle.
Yeah, while he was cutting hay. Yeah.
Yeah, cutting hay or clipping pasture, and Dad said, it'd be hot and them gas fumes hitting you in the face out from under that tractor, and you get to dawdling, and then Papa'd squall out and you hadn't picked the sickle up, and you'd have hay balled up out there on the end of it, which I think you'd probably seen Papa squall out at him a few times.
Yeah, I think, you know, give him a cuss and everything. And he wasn't going to do that, you know.
Well, now, speaking of square bales, I have heard, is there a good story about how many square bales that Jimmy could get on a 12-foot wagon?
Yeah, and we went out of the barn there, and it, you know, you couldn't, wasn't very high, the barn wasn't very tall. Knocked that hay on my head unloaded.
Did Papaw squall any at that point?
Oh, he did a good cuss of this.
So what was the deal?
The story I heard was that, of course, Papaw had shortened the wagon down to 12 foot for some reason. I guess probably the availability of lumber and the expense, I'm sure. But Walton was throwing up, Dad was stacking, and Walton bet him, said, I bet you can't put 100 on that wagon. And Dad said, if you can put it to me, I can stack it. And so they stacked 100 on a 12-foot wagon, pulled it to the barn. And Papaw's at the barn with the barn crew. Mm-hmm. And they get there and have to throw two runs off to even get it to go under the barn. And Papaw was pretty upset from what I heard. So
basically, you got Gabby in trouble. So that's what I'm hearing here. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Oh, he's always getting in trouble. Lord.
You mentioned Estill Lashley there a minute ago. That brought back a funny Estill, like you said, he used to say Ruck. He had all kind of funny sayings. My dad was named Gary. Yeah. Your new dad was.
Jerry.
He called him Jerry. He called Dad Jerry all the time.
He called Gary Jerry all the time.
Yeah, he called Dad Jerry. Well, Dad was up there one day, and Estill was just like everybody back then. He valued a dollar, very, very conservative with his money. And I think it was Dad and maybe Autry was in there or something, and he said, Estill said, you got anything to eat? Said, I'm starving to death. Said, you got to eat dinner? And Estill said, ah, Jerry, I don't. Said, if I had something, I'd give it to you. So they went on talking, and Dad said, well, I'm going to go back here and use the restroom. Well, he went and got back there and was in the kitchen and opened the refrigerator door, and there was a pound of bologna in there in that refrigerator wrapped up, but it wasn't sliced. It was just a full pound of bologna. Well, Dad was wearing overalls, so he unzipped that bib and put that pound of bologna in there and zipped it back up. Come back out, and they sit there talking. Estill got to noticing that bulge in his overalls. And he said, what you got in there, Jerry? And they said, them's $100 bills. And I sold a load of calves this morning, sold them for cash. He said, can I see? That's all you'll try to take them. He said, no, I won't. Just let me see. Well, he unzipped him overalls and pulled it back. Dad said Estill like to tore his head off. He said, Jerry, you son of a gun, you stole my bologna.
You ate all my bologna. Get in line.
He said he pulled that pound of bologna out like to tore his head off.
Well, wasn't Estill the one that come out here to the store and was talking about somebody stole his hog?
I've heard that.
In the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Said he'd went out and chopped ice for him and chopped it like out in the middle of the pond or something.
Instead of right at the edge.
Instead of right at the edge, and they all got shoving and pushing, and all of them ended up in the pond under the ice. And then he come back to the store and said, somebody stole all my hogs, and somebody went out there with him, and they found him out there in the pond.
Underneath the ice, yeah.
Yeah.
We was out there one day helping him get some calves up, and there's one coming by. Of course, there's Wilder and Buck Deer. There's one coming by. He said, lasso him, Jerry. That's what he was lasso. Lasco him, Jerry.
Well, I don't remember, and it may not have been. I think.
Boy, we had. Me and Jerry had a lot of fun.
Walter Edward and them, didn't they tend that farm some? I think Walter told me this story.
Yeah.
Said that they was out there spraying corn, and Estill was standing over by the fence, and he got to hacking and coughing and coughed his teeth out in the field where they were spraying. And he said he was coming up there and said Estill was trying to reach that page wire and get his teeth, and he's sprayed right over top of it.
Estill's nickname was Lightning.
People called him Lightning.
He was kind of crippled. He couldn't get around.
Right.
Say,
This old blue truck that we've got, that Brandon's got now, Old Blue as we call it. You remember Old Blue? You've several miles.
Oh,
Old Blue.
Lord, yes.
Had it hooked to a pipe wagon, had a flat tire down there by Randall Wilson's, and Estill was coming through there, and of course, you know that those bales pretty wide.
Yeah.
And he was getting older and couldn't see as well, and he clipped one of those bales. And it didn't really hurt anything, yeah. You know. It just skinned the bale up. Maybe scratched his truck a little, but anyway, he went on. Well, my aunt come down there, and Mom was, she said, "What's going on, Mom?" "Well, we got this flat tire. We come down to change this." And my aunt said, "Well, what happened to that hay?" And Mom said, "Lightning hit it." And my aunt looked around. She said, "Well, there ain't even a cloud in the sky." Mom said, "Oh, that's just what we call it.
That's what they call it.
That's just what we call it."
Lightning hit it.
Yeah, lightning hit it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That was some days, wasn't it?
So, now, you said you worked up at the truck stop, I guess, when you was working for Cecil, is that right? Yeah. So, you are key of the key oil keys, right?
That's Charles. That's Lester's boy.
Lester's boy. Well, I guess Lester, did he start that? Or did him and Cecil start that together? Or?
He started it.
He started it?
He started the truck stop. And
I bet there was some sights coming through there at that time.
Yes. Chicken, they haul a lot of chicken through there. They, sometimes they sell you a case of them for a little nothing or for some fuel or something, you know, just give them to you.
So did you move from Louisville back down to here? And that's when you started milking down there on the farm?
Yeah.
Is that when? And then after you left there, I can remember you moving from there. You moved over to Mohawk for several years, didn't you?
And I bought that farm from Melmer Madison. And I had some work. That's where they got my shoulder messed up. I raised heifers, you know.
I was going to say, I think that was where you was living when Dad sold them heifers to you.
Yeah, and...
So was you just doing replacements then? Replacement heifers, milk cows?
Yeah. I just take them to Smith's Grove, you know, I had that market over there. And they'd get, breed them and get them ready for the milk.
For the dairy sale?
Yeah. And I had about 30 in the barn there, and I was spraying them, you know, for flies. They run me in again in the barn about 35, 40 years ago. Messed my rotary cuff up.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were still going to school, I'm going to go back here just a little bit.
Right.
When you were still going to school down here at Sunfish, was Mama Dorothy, was she close to your age?
I believe she was a year ahead of me.
Mama Dorothy's a year ahead of you?
Oh, he told a good story earlier.
That's
on that.
I was in there with Charles Woosley.
Charles Woosley, yeah.
He was a year ahead of me.
And so you was a ball player, and she's a cheerleader,
yes,
is that right?
Her and Marina Ferris is, what was her name? I got some pictures of them girls.
Cheerleading down there.
Yeah. Doris Jean Willis.
Uh-huh.
One of them Willis girls on Big Weedy.
And you said done playing ball. Said you'd be sweating from head to toe.
Oh, just, you know, raining weather. It was hot in that old gym.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And I just go up and get her.
You know. First thing you do, go hug my mom.
Yeah, the first thing I do. Boy, you know, I was real sweaty.
Now, Kurt would have been a little older than you,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
Maybe four. Mm-hmm. Can you remember him playing ball?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's a pretty good house kid.
He's awesome. He's a good baseball player, too. He put a lot of them in that hog pen.
I was talking about the refs a while ago. I heard that that there was a play that they had sometimes when they thought the refs was maybe being a little rough on the Sunfish team, that they'd just throw the ball in that general direction, and Kurt, he'd dive after it to maybe get the ball, maybe not, but definitely get the ref. Said it'd be the awfulest pile up you ever seen in your life. But usually the calls would swing back the other way after that.
Oh, boy.
Well, did y'all say, when we were talking about that earlier, did y'all say that Kurt came back to school?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he went and done some service, military service.
Yeah. He went back and come back.
And then come back.
And when they come back, the government paid them to go to finish their school
up.
And
so he was, you know, maybe 3-4 years older than people that would have been in that grade or something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was,
but they let him play, you know.
He's a man playing with boys.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And he was a,
he's a man anyway.
Man anyway.
He was.
Right.
He was a big dude, too. I mean, he was up now.
What about some of the teachers? Was you a good student?
Well, I've got by. Anyway. Gee, a little bit. Miss Elton Potter, you remember her?
I don't guess so.
Miss Ruth has been to. And Miss Rebecca, she was a librarian.
Jack Durbin's wife, Miss Tiny, was she teaching down there then? Or?
Yeah, I had her in first grade, I think, or second grade.
Did Dale's mom teach down there?
Miss Teresa? I don't know.
Yeah, I believe she did. Did she? Yeah, I believe she taught. But I think it was a little later after I graduated.
Miss Tiny, she owned, her and her husband owned the farm where I live now. That was Jack and Tina Durbin's farm. Uh-huh. And I can remember we'd been living up there a little while, and she had Dad in school, just thought he hung the moon, you know. So we're sitting there one day, and somebody knocks at the door. Mom goes to the door, and it's Miss Tina. She said, my name's Tina Durbin. We used to own this farm. Said, is Gary home? And Mom said, no, he's not here right now. She said, okay, I'll see you later. She just turned around and left. That's all she's there for. She won't come in and visit with us, though. I can remember Walt. He was up at the house a whole lot. Of course, if you know anything about Dad, he had an illness that he battled there for a long time. And Walt, he'd take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
You done a lot of that driving up and down the I-65, going to the hospital, taking him down there.
Sure did.
But Walt, he'd come in of a morning. Of course, Mom, she'd have biscuits and gravy and eggs and, you know, just full spread laid out there. And Dad, he'd say, get Walt a couple Pop-Tarts. he's wanting to feed Walt a Pop-Tart all the time. So that was kind of the running joke. Anytime I'd run into Walton over the years, he'd say, you got to eat Pop-Tarts. But now, I've seen Walt in action. He's talking about that set shot. I had that ball go out in the driveway.
Yeah.
And I tried my best. Of course, he wouldn't play no one-on-one at that time. Yeah. But, son, he'd smoke my hind end horse. I'd be horse and he'd be H or something like that.
Yeah.
He still had it.
I can remember some of that heat because you had a ball goal in the old barn down there.
You remember Brad and Todd, you know, that was Larry's ball.
Uh-huh.
They was down there, we was playing baseball. Old Todd, he jumped up and grabbed that rim, that whole backboard come down. It just barely nailed up right on that old garage there. We'd have some games out there playing horse. And, oh, boy.
Walt, he'd shoot that one-handed set shot. Mm-hmm. He'd take his hand off of it. I know Kevin was talking about Coach Goosenecking it. Yeah, Walt had a great follow-through, but he'd come up on that left foot. Great ball player.
So I guess Coach would have been a little younger than...
Huh?
Charles Alexander?
Yeah.
He's a little younger than you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure he went to Brownsville, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Kevin said.
Yeah, and we didn't like Brownsville. Old Mossy Vincent, I don't know if you remember him. He was one of the old, I guess he might have played with Kirk. He was pretty rough, too.
Who was some of the guys that was about your age, like that would have been on your team right in there?
Charles was in, and mm-hmm. Lester played a little bit on, well, Lester and Larry both played a little bit.
Now, Larry's a good baseball player, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I've heard Larry was a pitcher and a half.
Yeah, they wanted him to come try out again for the Reds.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I'd heard that story.
He didn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went up there. I went with him one time to try out. And it rained that day, and they wanted him to come back. And he never would go back.
So I'm trying to think, I'm trying to get my years right there. So like Uncle Roy was the baby boy of Papa's bunch. So he would have graduated there in about 60, maybe about 60 or something like that, or 61 or something. So is he 5-6 years younger than... Like, can you remember those guys playing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had some good teams in
there. Yes, sir, buddy.
And I've heard Uncle Roy tell. Can you remember Darryl Carrier playing?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Darryl, Uncle Roy said they had two people on Darryl the whole game, and he still had 45 points.
Yes. He's a good ball player.
Held him to 45 points.
Yeah, we had to fight them Carriers and the Kenny Head. You know, they was always a lot ahead of us.
When you sold your dairy down there, they continued running it for just a little while, didn't they?
Oh, God. When he first come down, though, he was in the trucking business. You're like, oh, that's pretty good business. He had one of them fancy checkbooks.
Yeah.
I thought, ooh, that boy's got money. And the last time he had one of them little old pocket ones.
Pocket checkbook.
Yeah, giving that old boy $400 or $500 a week to milk cows. He didn't know what the cow was.
I could.
I'd go over and try to show him something. He'd be out there talking to him, milk would just blazing away, not getting the master out of us, you know.
Well, I'm not going to say who was milking down there at the time. It was a hand. He come up to the house, and I had to go down there with that old four-wheel drive tractor.
Is that when they had three tractors and a truck all hung up in the field at the same time?
And a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
That's what it started over. Yeah. I said, what happened? He said, we got the four-wheeler hung up. So he took a truck to pull a four-wheeler out. Got the truck hung up.
Yeah,
took a tractor out there to get the truck out. And it just kind of dominoed.
I can remember that. I remember they took another truck out there and tried to pull some of that stuff out, and they just spun.
Well, I ended up going down there and pulling two or three of those pieces out with that 7400, that four-wheel drive. And he drove that 185 to the house to ask if I could come down there and pull whatever was hung up, pull out, drove that tractor all the way to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that we've got a dairy. And, I mean, there used to be dairies just on every corner. When you were milking, would you say there was probably 20 dairies in our county?
Oh, yeah.
Ever been to
everybody.
That?
They were big enough over at Smith Grove. I mean, over Rocky Hill. I forget the name of that. They had a big dairy.
Well, you mentioned Walter Edward earlier. I think they were milking maybe like 100 or something back, wasn't it? I mean, he had a big operation over there.
Yeah.
I've heard him tell that... what's that disease that they get?
Mastitis?
No. Bangs?
Yeah.
Bangs?
Yeah, where they breed and lose their calves.
Yeah, he got that in his herd.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And he said it was just a nightmare, and it was just kind of...
Man, if we could have got him on here.
Oh, yeah.
Walter.
Yeah.
He had some good stories.
Oh, my goodness. Walter Edward Webb, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. Walter Edward, I'll tell you this one. He come to the station every morning, him and Shelby, when they was...
In the garbage truck.
I opened at 5 back then, and they'd be sitting there waiting on me. I'd open up, get the pumps turned on, and we'd all sit and eat an egg sandwich. Mildred would make me an egg sandwich and send by Walter, so me and him and Shelby would sit there and eat our egg sandwich. And he'd tell something different every day. I mean, he had a story every day. But one of the funniest ones I can remember on him, you remember when we had the little bird flu thing, kind of outbreak, where they was the chicken houses and all that? They were... going around a so many mile radius and checking everybody that had any kind of poultry.
Yeah.
And so there was two guys that pulled up out there at Walter's yard, and Walter was sitting on the ground with his pocket knife trimming around a tree. Instead of weed eating, he'd just take his pocket knife and he'd trim around a tree. That was after he had, I think, maybe even quit driving the garbage truck at that time. So these two state guys, white vehicle, big seal on the door, walks up and said, "Hello, sir, my name is Bill, and my name is Ken," or whatever their names was, "and we're from the Department of Agriculture, and so we just seen you out here. Said, we were just wondering if you knew anybody in the area that had any poultry." He said, "Well," he said, "I had some last year," and he pointed out to the garden spot. He said, "I had some last year," and I said, "I had it planted right over there." Said, "But I'm going to tell you what," said, "the chickens got out and tore it all to pieces." He said, "Them men just looked at him so funny." He said, "Sir, I hope you have a good day." they got back in their state vehicle and left.
They didn't know who in the world they just ran into.
They had no clue who they had got a hold of.
Walter, he's something else.
When you start branching out maybe a little bit, Bub, maybe you could get Teddy or one of them, because they know those Walter Edwards stories up one side and down the other. There is some good web stories, just in general, Big Daddy, Cecil, that whole generation right there, they were cards now.
Walton, how many years did you tell us you were married?
70 years.
70 years.
Well, you know, in the high school sweetheart from the last 2 years.
And you've got two boys.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Gary and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
How much age difference is there in Gary and Scott?
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah.
And then Gary's got how many girls?
He's got three girls, and they got four boys and one girl. So I got four great-grandsons and one great-granddaughter.
Now, are they ball players?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay got a scholarship at Stanford.
Is that
softball?
Right? Softball.
Yeah. Stanford. Yeah, she's a real good athlete. Lauren's the oldest girl. She likes New York. You know what they pay for a Pace Parker car?
Oh, there's no telling.
$1,000 a month. No cover over it. Just
$1,000 a month just to
park a car. But I think he sold his car.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't.
He does a lot of work at home, you know. That's something, ain't it?
That is.
Ain't no telling what you pay for rent.
Oh, I'd say probably here in South Central Kentucky, if we got into some states in the Northeast or maybe out on the West Coast, I'd say it'd blow our minds.
Oh, there's no doubt.
What cost of living the difference would be in some of those places it would be here. I mean, I think probably around here, what's your typical house going to rent for? Maybe $500-$600, would you say, or something like that?
Probably.
That's what I would guess. And I'd say up there, probably just an apartment would be
$5,000.
Yeah, $2,000 or $3,000. Like yeah, I would say something like that.
Yep. So
and things that we don't even think of. The job I'm in, we see all the property that sells and meet a lot of the new homeowners. I was out talking to a lady at that new subdivision, Middlebrook. But those lots are 0.4 acres, 0.4. And the lady that I was talking to was from Nevada. And she said, you can't find acreage like this out in Nevada. And I look around and I'm like, the lot lines over here, the lot lines over there, 20 feet from her house, however many feet in the back. And I'm thinking, what acreage? But I mean, I guess literally out there you're in, you just got your condo or you got your apartment or that sort of thing.
And in Bowling Green, there's no more houses being built. It's all condos.
Condos, apartments,
people
that sort of
afford,
thing.
Can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, Bowling Green right now is something like 2,000 units or something like that, 3,000 units.
They're going to be second in the state over Lexington.
I think they're the fastest
growing.
What are
they going to do to the roads, though? It's a pain in the ass to get around.
I'll agree with that.
I tell you what, if you've ever been on Scottsville Road at
going
to work time getting off time.
I'll be honest with you. I went down there and got him earlier, and I believe it's about as bad at 11 o'clock on a Saturday.
Is that right?
Well, after 1 o'clock Friday, forget it. You ain't going nowhere.
Friday afternoon, coming out of work.
Cut out earlier. Mm-hmm. But you just can't get out. They'll even block the interstate. That's where I live, over Greenwood Ford. You come across there, you got to wait. They'll just block it. It'd be lined up to the interstate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been coming down through there and seen people trying to get out where there's not a light. And I'm like, you don't know. You don't know Scottsville Road very well, do you?
They'll just block it. Just sit there. I ain't going to let you out.
We've had a lot of people move in from different states, though.
And when
you tell them that you live, how many acres is here at your place, bub?
40.
40 acres. You tell them you live on 40 acres, and they just, their eyes get as big as $500. Yeah. They act like they ain't never even heard of something like that. So that's something we've really taken for granted around here. Yes. It's just the space. And, it's filling up.
Yeah.
We're having probably 100 or 125 new houses built in a year here in Amundsen County.
I told somebody the other day, we're very fortunate probably where we live for how we want to live, because if you look right around, me and you are neighbors, but I can't throw a rock and hit your house. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there's not a lot of ground around here that's ever going to be split up or sold if you get to looking right close to us.
Right.
I had a doctor one day. He asked me something about my. I said, "Where did you get your license?" I told him, I graduated Sunfish Mall. I said, "You know what? It burnt down." Well, I went to one too. The school that I went to burnt down. I said, "Well, ain't that a whooper?" I said, "Sunfish Mall."
The Sunfish Mall.
Sunfish you.
Oh, God, boy, that government cheese. You buy a chunk of it for $1.
He'd trade on gas, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I've heard that a block of cheese is about $2 worth of gas back in the day.
Yes, sir.
Said it's better than Velveeta.
Yeah, old John A. had plenty of cheese. But is that good kind? American, you cut off whatever you want.
Come in a block, didn't
it? Yeah, come in a 3-pound box.
Yeah.
So it is.
you said Sunfish U there. That reminded me of something when I was saying, talking about Dad. You took him to a lot of them hospital visits. Like we was down there one time, and when we would get down there, it'd be a whole day's worth of doctor visits a lot of times. Yeah. I know you've been down there, and it's been like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we was down there one day, and when it was like that, we'd just eat lunch in the cafeteria. Uh-huh. Did you ever eat lunch in the cafeteria? Yeah. You don't get out and move your truck and all that. Just eat lunch in the cafeteria. Well, you go in there and get your plate, and they'd fix you a hamburger or if you wanted just something on the hot plate there. And then you go up, and there'd be a lady sitting there at a register checking out.
Yeah.
So I had my plate first, and Mom had hers. And Dad come up through there. Of course, if you've never seen Dad, I think my sister posted a picture of Dad earlier in the week or something like that. But I look nothing like him. I mean, anything that I am, he was not. He was jet black-headed, just golden brown skin, dark eyes, and I'm just opposite of that. I'm blue-eyed, fair-skinned, blonde-headed when I was young. Now, Kayla looks like him a whole lot, I mean, for the world. But anyway, so we're there in line, and Dad comes up through there, and that lady looks at him, and she says, "What are you?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Excuse me?" She said, "What tribe are you?" He said, "Oh, Sunfish." She said, "I never heard of it." So that's kind of been a running joke. We're from the Sunfish tribe up here.
There you go.
My aunt, when Mom was going to deliver me, my aunt, her oldest sister, she was just so excited because she just knew. Patricia?
Yeah.
Patricia just knew I was going to be this black-headed, brown-eyed little boy. You know, they knew that they was having a boy, but that's all
there
they knew.
There you are.
Yeah. I was born, I looked just like an albino almost. I had cotton white hair, blue eyes. I was fair complected. Mom said, "Pat just cried." I said, "Was it really that bad?" She said, "She just cried."
Such a disappointment, Kyle. Yeah, such a disappointment.
I always have been. I've not gained much ground even since then.
Well, there's a few of us. We're proud of you.
Walt loves me.
Oh, boy, that's a done.
Walton, we're glad you got to come up.
Yeah, I'm glad I did come up. I've been looking forward to this.
We've missed having you in the community.
Absolutely.
We had a lot of fun out of you over the years. What was it? You had one famous saying that I know you've told me and Kyle both over the years.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, you boys ain't what you did.
That was Walton's famous words.
Well, have you got any final thoughts or final anything that good you want to leave everybody with? Or
I think I've left enough.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll say this. We joke and cut up a lot.
Yeah.
But Walton's one of my favorite people in this whole wide world. I growed up in a time and a place where neighbors truly were neighbors.
Hey.
And Bub said that you couldn't throw a rock and hit my house. That's not what a neighbor was when I was growing up.
No, sir.
You didn't have to live side by side.
No.
So we lived probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 miles from Walton.
Yeah.
But he truly was a neighbor when I was growing up.
Oh,
anything that we ever needed, he was there, Johnny on the spot and to help. And hopefully that we was there, you know, in turn.
Everybody's like it now with me. I mean, they come and call me on both sides, you know, always checking, wanting to come and fix me a meal or something, you know. And I can move around, cook a little bit, but there's always somebody there. Now, like this guy here, he's from Kansas, and he's Jeannie's brother-in-law, married Jeannie, Gary's wife's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there a week or long, and she just bent over backward, and he has too. He said, "I'm staying till Gary comes in." I said, "Now, Will, you got family back in Kansas." "I don't care. I'm staying till Gary gets here." I said, "Well, I'm not going to go nowhere, I don't think."
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to help each other out.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, I brought that up last night. I showed Austin that picture of your dad, and I was talking a little bit about your dad. And how many people in the community he had helped, and you know, him and Dad working together and things. And I said, you know, me and Dad could have went down there and got anything he had.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I feel like me and you are on that same
level. That's what I was getting ready to say. How many times have you come and pulled me out of the mud, or I've borrowed this or borrowed that, or and you're welcome to do the same thing. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what makes the world go round.
I'm glad we've carried on that tradition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know when I was young, like I said, Walton, he just liable to be on our place working as he was his own.
Yeah.
And that's the way you do
it. Me and Gary really, it worked good. You know, he was good to me, Gary was.
Being community-minded, I can remember that old Squire Baler we had for a long time was the only Squire Baler in the country.
Everybody borrowed it.
And you didn't care. Yeah. You know, if somebody broke something, they fixed it.
Yeah.
You didn't get worried about all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, we've baled a bunch of hay with it down our pipe-offs.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe it comes back around. Dad, you say you'll never go wrong by doing the right thing.
That's pretty simple.
That ain't hard to understand if you just treat people right and treat people good. It always comes back around.
There's a lot of people in this world need to hear that advice.
Absolutely. So I love this guy right here.
Oh boy, I love
you. And I know Brandon does.
I love you all, and
he's one of our very best friends.
I've got some good memories of all of you, and you can't place that with money.
No, that's the truth.
That's the truth. All right. Well, folks, we're glad you listened. We enjoyed having Walton here. If you've not checked out our Facebook page, you can look at it and see the pictures we've talked about a little bit. And definitely check out Hayes Farmhouse Design while you're there. Everybody have a good week.